This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
Hi everyone, welcome to Righty's House. Hope you are all safe and well. Today, we're going to talk about my dear friend, David Rowcastle, who passed away 22 years ago today. Then we're going to rank our top five genre of goal after Frieder Mannheim's brilliant strike against Bayern. Then we'll look ahead to the return of the Premier League this weekend. And my guests are Flo Lloyd Hughes and Mayowa Kwan. How are you, guys and girls?
Yo.
We cool?
Yeah.
We good, we're great. We're alive, we're well, we're healthy.
We're alive. Exactly, we are. Like in the intro, they mentioned my dear friend David Rowcastle, 22 years. It's always a tough one because leading in, you know, everything comes back, the memories come back. Even the fact that the girls are going on holiday. And I remember when me and David used to go holiday, we used to go to Disneyland in Florida.
Mm. What?
And, yeah, with the kids and all, his kids and my kids.
Oh, I thought you meant just the two of you.
No.
I was like, wow, okay.
And I remember because it was such a tough day. It would be me, him, and obviously the ladies would do their stuff. But
yeah,
but he was the one that introduced me. And I don't know, I'm going to tell it anyway, because these are the things what David done, what was always so cool. Because he was the one who introduced me to whiskey and ginger. So we'd be walking around totally half cut.
Like a hip flask?
Yeah. in Disney, half cuts drinking whiskey and ginger, just having a laugh, just doing our stuff, going on rides with the kids and stuff like that.
Favourite ride?
No, what's it called? It's me and Dave used to like the roller coaster when we're like really like out.
Oh god.
So what?
Yeah. But like that's funny because those memories came back to me. And those are the kind of things that come back to me, is that kind of stuff. But I remember one thing that came back, what was more than what really it gets me every single time. Simply because I was covering my mouth, look. Simply because the reason I went to Arsenal, of course, I wanted to go there to win stuff, but he was the reason why I went there. And obviously with our history and, you know, when we were kids and stuff. So I remember that, you know, after the first season we went there and it was heaven. I think it was the best season of my career in respects of goals and achieving. Obviously, we didn't win the league that year, but I won the golden boot that year. We finished on a high. It was brilliant. Everything was going great. And then I remember the next season we went in and David was outside our complex and, you know, he was crying. I thought, whoa, there must be a death. Someone's died somewhere. And in the end, it felt like that to me. It was like a death because when he said, they're selling me to Leeds. I honestly, it was like someone gave you that news.
That was nearly it for you, right? You were like,
you know something? I didn't deal with that very well because I remember I went and saw George Graham and I actually, what the fuck's going on? You know, like not realizing that this is professional football. Mm. Tony Adams had to pull me afterwards because George Graham was trying to calm me down, just calm me down. But he couldn't say to me, that's how it goes. What the fuck are you talking about? This is what happens.
Mm.
You know, we're moving him on because I genuinely thought that me and David, we're just going to ride off into the Arsenal sunset, just playing us two. And that, so when he went, and I remember Tony doing that, then I phoned David, and David was the one who kind of made me realise, Ian, that's what happened.
It's part of the game.
It's part of the game. It's how it happens. I remember when we played them, they beat us, and he was brilliant in it. But it was very difficult for me to get over the fact that he weren't there.
Mm.
So, you know, when I think back to when we were younger, because when I was 8 and he was like 5 in the... I remember it, because we're going to go and open the pitch, the Rocky and Righty pitch, in a couple of weeks, I think it is. And that particular school, every time I go in and around there, remember when I was in the big playground, he's in the little playground, and obviously we didn't know each other that much. We just knew each other. He was in the same class as my ex-wife, God rest her soul, wow. Rest of both of their souls. You know, so they were both in the same class all the way through. She used to tell me about how he used to tease her and that when she was when she was younger. So then for us to get through, go through our adolescent, our teenage years, and then we play for Arsenal. This is why I'm so happy with the way it's gone, with the way Arsenal are continually remembering him and how now they've got that foundation for him, how the fans still sing his name.
Mm.
And it's really strange because anybody that you meet, you speak about him, they always speak so highly of him simply because, you know, when people die, people say, oh, he was this and that. He was that.
Mm.
He was that. So it's been a kind of tough couple of days. And, you know, I mean, I've got so many messages from people this morning saying they're thinking about me today. And I really appreciate that because it sometimes, you know, like even just coming in this morning, you know, you kind of well up, you feel a little bit like, oh, it was very, and it was one of the worst ever days of my life when going to the funeral. So like I say, you know, I look back and what Arsenal are doing and the way everybody's remembering him. And I've got to say, with the Leeds fans, brilliant. We're playing Leeds as well. And the Leeds fans have got so much respect for him as well. So we'll be giving him love and Leeds will be giving him love. It's just a beautiful thing at the moment.
Yeah, so I've got to say, right, like, honestly, like, knowing you, like, I have so much respect and admiration because it's one thing to sort of love someone and it's another thing to be there for their loved ones where they're no longer here and, you know, really be a pillar.
Mm.
Like the stuff that you've done for his legacy, his family and everything, out of pure love is a really pure thing because we don't have to talk about it, but we see what happens in our type of communities where someone goes and people just kind of go, oh, okay. Like the fact that, you know, that you're so in tune to make sure that people understand the legend that he was is a beautiful thing. And I think everyone sees the love and admiration you two had for each other. Like anytime I see you speak about him, I see it. And what's so beautiful for me is that the fact that you both managed to have that moment at Arsenal is such a beautiful thing. I remember getting gassed at, you know, when it's like a county, London county, and you play with your best mate. It's like, yeah, oh my gosh, amazing. I can't imagine playing for a team that I love with my best mate. I can't imagine that feeling.
So for him to make his debut in Newcastle, he made his debut like 18. You know what I mean? We could not believe that someone from Oak Estate Ends Broccoli, this little estate we used to play at the Creme, is playing for Arsenal. Not just playing for Arsenal, but fucking killing it, man. Mm. You know, in his first couple of years, Young Player of the Year, England Young Player of the Year, all this stuff, what was happening to him. And then I end up getting to play with him in that year.
Yeah.
It was like, it was living a dream. But you know, I've got to say, what he used to say towards the end, we used to speak a lot. And it was like, I'd say, the last couple of years, all he was worried about was how his kids were going to, you know, what's going to happen with the kids, especially in the last years when you're talking to him. It was very difficult to speak to him because as it was going on, his voice was getting more and more, it's getting worse. And so it was tough to speak to him. So you can imagine as soon as you put the phone down, it was just very, very difficult, very emotional. But all he wanted was his kids to go on and do something. And you look at Melissa, you look at Ryan, you look at Monique, they're all doing amazing stuff. Janet, his wife, is just amazing the way she's brought them up and how everything's, it's gone brilliantly. It's gone perfectly. It couldn't go any better. And like I say, it's a very emotional day. And it's one that, you know, I'm quite pleased I ain't got to do anything else later on, you know what I mean? Because I know I'm going to get a lot of messages and from people from the ends. And so I'm just going to think about the great stuff. I'm going to probably pull out that 90. Remember them videos they used to do of that whole season for that particular season, the 92?
Mm. You got it on DVD?
I think I've got it on VHS. I'm going to have to blow
Perfect.
The VHS off. But it's probably on DVD, but like I'm probably going to have to look through some of that stuff and see, because like sometimes his goals flash up.
Mm.
That's what I'd like people to do. Flash up some goals of Rocky. Some of his goals, what he's
crazy.
Scored. Jesus Christ, man. I'm so glad to have loved him so much. I loved him so much. I don't know what to do. I don't even know how to finish this. I don't know how to finish it.
A whiskey and ginger tonight.
Yeah, I probably have one of those. Thanks, Flo. Good shout. Right at the right time. You know, actually, you know how we could finish this? I remember we'd done a montage where we got the guys, I think it was the 20th anniversary of Rocky's passing. We'd done a brilliant montage with the guys, got all the guys, Arsenal guys, to just a nice little message. So I'll probably play out on that later on, just to kind of like get some love from some other people as well.
The holidays have arrived early with Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale. Upgrading window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Browse premium blinds, shades, shutters. We have your patio covered too. And get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Free shipping and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale now. Save up to 45% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Okay, so Champions League. So what I've got to say to everybody first, I was going to touch a little bit on the Chelsea, but Counter Press done a very, very good deep dive on it. They came and done an emergency pod on it, which is
emergency really pod. Emergency
has to get the Avengers sorrow now. Yeah. Get everyone
assembled together. I saw Becky this morning. I had to give Bex a hug because like Bex looked wrecked. So they're going to be doing that. So we're not going to be doing too much on the Chelsea-Lyon game, which was fantastic, because that's going to be on Counter-Press. But we will go in on the Arsenal game. But we got to talk about the Freedom Arnhem goal. Because the Freedom Arnhem goal, right, it was just like, even the move, Leah's little back flick. So we wanted to do something on genres of goal, your favourite kind of genre of goal, because this one was brilliant. It's one of those goals. And plus, because we was there as well, Flo, where you're just like, oh my gosh, it was so amazing. What a brilliant goal in that. So we want to do our favourite genre.
But can I just say, 3.7 million views that goal's had on Twitter. Wow. That's just Twitter. Wow. Lewis, from the Spotify team here, first time I came in yesterday morning on Thursday, he said that goal was top of the Reddit football discussion. Jesus. And I don't really know Reddit, but obviously it's a big deal.
Is there something about the ball blasting it off the crossbar or something?
And then the assist you get, the back heel from Williamson, which I think you only get on the second watch, because I didn't actually notice that the ground. Yeah.
No, I didn't notice in the ground.
And then in the clip, I saw that and I was like, what?
But it's the part of the goal that the ball ends up in. It's just insane. It's a very acute...
The toppest of top bins. It's a very acute
angle. The only way it could get any further in the top bin is if the ball was square.
Yeah, genuinely. That's it.
Literally.
It was a beautiful strike. But she does it. She can strike like that.
What would you call that specific genre of goal?
Because
it's not a thunderbuster, isn't it?
It's not angry. You know what? It's just... You know what that is? Is that when you look at it and when they show it from behind the goal and you see Frida's like set up and how perfect the body was.
It's all technique.
Yeah, all technique. And like when you see it, then it goes in off the bar. It's just an elite goal because it's the goal that if you are, when you're playing football, even when you're thinking about football, you think about scoring that kind of goal. Bam, off your favourite foot, bam, in the top corner. That was it. That was the goal. What's my favourite? I've got a few. You got a few. What's your? You go with yours. And I'm not going to talk about my own.
But you say that
many.
Every time, and then you're like, this one time with Tony Adams, I was in the dressing room at St. James's Park, and then we lose a tangent. You're like, I don't know why I mentioned it. I just wanted to mention. So yeah, no. I'll hold
and
you.
And I put the ball on halfway line, and Dennis put a free ball through.
Yeah, I'm going to try and not go into my own book.
If you want the righty comp, I'm sure it's somewhere on YouTube.
What's yours, Maze?
I've got a few. One that I've definitely got a shout out is, I think it's very underrated, but there's so much application that comes with this type of finish and this genre, the diving header.
Oh my gosh.
The diving header. Because the ball, especially when the ball's coming across and you see the attacker run in, get momentum, and it's like, I'm not going to make it. I've got to fly. And then the perfect contact. You're not forcing the ball, just change the direction. I think there's a few. Lee Dixon got one against Newcastle. Do you remember that one?
I set that up for him.
Fucking hell, here we go again.
Do you remember that one?
I do, because I think I went down the left, cut back, and then Lee Dixon came from the back. And you know why I remember it so well? Is because Lee Dixon done this, he flew. It's like
Superman.
Someone shot him out of a cannon. And I remember, what I remember more about it is that he done this ridiculous, and even he will say, this ridiculous celebration where he just had his two fingers up in the air, like these two like pointing up like this. And he said, Dicko, what was that celebration? He said, I don't know, I was just doing it. But like, I remember that one. But can I say talking about headers, I was watching like Teddy Sheringham the other day. Teddy Sheringham is one of my favourite footballers, right? I watched his Premier League 100 plus the other day. And he scored a header against someone. I don't know who it was. Darren Anderton crossed it. And it was perfect. It was simply because, and I like this header because it's what you do when you've got time and you're a good header. Shearer done it against United. I think when he scored a brilliant goal, when he ran through and done with his left foot. But in the same game, I think he scored a header where the ball comes across and all you're doing is just the just heading it back where it's come from, but like it's perfect. It's come off his forehead. He's got his eyes wide open and it's gone bam, straight back in the top corner. Goalkeeper can't move.
Yep.
I love that goal because it's such a difficult goal to score. But if you're a good header of the ball,
you make it possible.
It just looks so beautiful. And I watched it the other day again. Teddy, he must have scored 3 or 4 goals like that. But that one and the one. Remember the first goal that was scored live on Premier League, in the Premier League, it was Nottingham Forest versus Liverpool. Teddy from the left, cut inside again, and smashed it into the stanchion. That is one of my favourite goals.
Yeah, no,
that is what I love because it's like stanchion.
Yeah, special place for me. Obviously, the Van Persie one, of course. Just
volley.
That is like Superman, like just, you know, I've got nothing left. Just get over
Wayne Rooney's angry goal against Newcastle at Old Trafford was fucking awesome.
You know, one that I really love, which is similar kind of to the Rooney one, but it involves volleys. But something I really love about this type of volley is when a corner comes in, the defending team think they've headed it away, and then you just get like a chest or a first touch.
The rebound
bam.
Volley. Yeah.
Scholes scored one Villa. Against Everton like this.
And Villa.
Where the defending team think, I think it was against West Ham actually, the defending team think that they've done it. They head West Ham header it away.
Squeeze.
Yeah, and then you're like, push up. And then suddenly it's just touch, bang, done.
Do you know what I call that?
Something about it coming from the corner that I just love.
Do you know what I call it? I call that the back to sender.
I think I saw Scholesy score a couple. I saw him do one, Bex just volleyed it out to him against Bradford. I remember that one. And then there was one, I think it was the same thing, Flo. Went into the box against Villa. Someone headed it out. And then that's when I go, everybody out, click, squeeze. And Scholesy hit it and went bam, off the crossbar, down and boom, up into the net. So it actually bulged the top of the net.
No, he's good. One that I like as well, our good friend Carl Twonk, the Twonk finish.
He twonked it.
I like to call it the whoosh. Some people might call it the angry goal, but like Twonk whoosh. Osimhen did one against Sassuolo where there's no, I like the specific one where most people try and blame the goalkeeper and be like, he's got to be saving that. And it's like, no, why is the goalkeeper expecting to shoot from that angle? So Osimhen did one against Sassuolo where literally he has no right to shoot straight into the bottom corner. World Cup, Gonçalo Ramos for Portugal.
Oh, which one?
Off the left foot when he just rifled it. Oh. And then the goalkeeper just looks up and goes, oh, okay.
If we're going to talk the World Cup as well, Maya, then we have to talk about Kylian Mbappe's second goal in such a big game and that volley.
What would you call that, though? Fuck it.
Fuck it. Yeah. You know what? That is...
Around and find out.
You know what that is? You can't give me this kind of time and space. You know, in this kind of game, that are you stupid? You know the thing with this goal, though? With the Kylian Mbappe goal, this goal... Because what was the score at that time? I think they might have been losing.
That was the equaliser,
right? So I'm thinking, with the time he had, and with the ball, the way the ball came over...
Take a touch.
Honestly, and the thing is, you only realise how difficult this chance is once he's scored, right? Because once he's done it, you think, oh my God, if he missed that, you think, why didn't you take a touch? And he finished that. And the reason why I admire that so much is because the difficulty and the occasion did not even come into the equation of just because of how confident in his technique is that I'm just going to volley this. Because so many things can go wrong with that particular strike.
Yep.
That for me is one of those where I was off my seat. Let me see, what else? Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank used to score some goals.
Thunderbastard.
Well,
do you remember the one against United?
You remember?
Where the net, if the net
is not there, he's killing somebody in the audience.
That was one I like absolutely obsessed with is when you can hear the net. Do you remember that Haaland one in the Champions League last season, the year before, where the net is the loudest thing for about 0.5 seconds? It's just bam,
and
that's
the thing
the
is,
net.
There's no backlift on the technique.
Jimmy, I was thinking as well with Jimmy, I don't remember ever seeing Jimmy score and he was happy. And every time I see him, I say, Jimmy, do you look back now? Because he's got the most beautiful little smile. He's like this. I said, Jimmy, don't you look back now and think that you could have maybe celebrated a bit more happier? But the thing with Jim is that his striking of the ball.
Insane.
I think that I like the clean strikes. The ones that, like De Bruyne. Like we've seen De Bruyne from outside the box and you're thinking, well, the goalkeeper's got nowhere near and it's on the rise into the net.
Yep.
It's on the rise into the net. It's just, that's one of my favourites.
Do you know what I love about Jimmy? Really random. I think, apart from Kevin Hart, he has the best meme folder ever.
Seriously?
He has a picture for everything. His face is like...
Jimmy's.
He has a meme for every single moment. Whether it's him holding a notepad, him holding a coffee, him just looking. He has a meme for everything. He's so funny. But one, you mentioned clean hits.
Mm.
I call it the stop that.
Right.
But it's a specific goal where it's a cold effort, but there's a little bit of magic just before. So you both may remember press for... the US team against England.
Morgan.
The little 2 foot and then wrapped it round. Liam Williamson looks like, oh my gosh, where's that come from?
Yeah.
Federico Makeda for United, the little turn and then just wrapped it round.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like...
Something out of nothing. Yeah.
Stop that.
Also, they don't technically go in, but I love a ghost goal. Sterling, Brazil, 2014. The ones where you think it's gone in, you're already celebrating and then you're like, how is that not in?
Yeah.
The ones where it just blows your mind because it's like an optical illusion when the goal, it's not even a goal.
The Lampard one?
The Lampard, many ghost goals where you're like, how is that not real life? Like, what?
Yep.
That, I think, is like not technically, you know, we're kind of pushing the boundaries of the category a little bit, but I think they're memorable in their own right because you feel like it should be a goal.
I feel, I've got to mention, the last one I'll probably mention is Robin Van Persie against Charlton. Is that the one? You remember that one?
Yeah.
I know the one where Wayne Rooney set him up with the volley, but the one against Charlton, he was like, off the ground. Like if Di Canio's goal against Wimbledon is one of the greatest I've ever seen. Same with the beauty of Luis Suarez against Newcastle, the one where he took it on his chest, took it on his shoulder, went around the goalkeeper. That was just pure genius. But the Robin Van Persie one, which came, was a volley. He was off the ground, in the air, and drove it into the top. Those goals are the ones... Goals that make you go, whoa, you know what I mean? Goals that make you do
Would that be your official technical term?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah, that is it. Like, you know, like Jeanette's got the... Mine is... Because that was...
Your soul leaves your body and leaves it's just floating.
Because Frieda's goal, which is what started all this, Frieda's goal, before we even saw the link-up play to lead into it, with Leah's beautiful back heel to her, was one of those that makes you jump off. So before we kind of wrap it, so have you got kind of like a top five kind of like genre goals that like you can, like we can rank and maybe give them some kind of names like whoa?
Yeah, I think the whoa has to be, that's got to be top five. Like when you just go whoa, I think we've...
What are they? Give us what goals.
The whoa would have to be the one we've just described now, like ultimately like you jump out. So like the goal that started this whole conversation is that the pinnacle of that, where you just, it's all technique and just like,
beautiful,
wow.
Yeah.
So that's got to be in there.
I like the goals where in the stadium, right, that's what they're paying to see.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like, you know, we always feel like people all feel like they can emulate the top, like, professionals.
Yeah.
But when they see a goal like that, that's what separates you from them.
Russo back heel Euro semi-final when my soul left my body and I had malfunctioned in the stands. That's a wall.
Yeah.
Wall.
Yeah.
My brain just left me.
Can I say then for my wall as well, Georgia Stanway against Spain in the Euro was a wall.
Because that felt also angry goal to me, because I think angry goal is definitely a big term and there was something about... Or maybe what you said, Maya, about that, stop that. It's like, that's something out of nothing.
Yeah.
That Georgia Stanway had a something out of nothing energy to me, because she was like, I have to put the team on my back and be a hero.
Yeah, I think that falls into stop that. I think another example, Caroline Weir.
Yeah.
Take the touch, dribble, like Moses and Red Sea, everything parts. That's like, stop that. Why have you done... Why have you done this?
So that means, what we can put into the stop that category is, like I mentioned, Luis Suarez against Newcastle. Yeah. It's like the ball came from about 50 yards. He controlled it. It came over his shoulder. He controlled it on that shoulder, down to his knee, round the goalkeeper, in the goal. That's the kind of goal where you go, nah, stop that.
Stop that. Yeah.
Stop that.
Yeah. Carl Anka Twonk?
Twonk, yeah. Twonk whoosh is like...
So what's a twonk whoosh?
It's like the goal where ultimately you just... It's not a thunderbaster, because Jimmy Floyd is a thunderbaster. He's hitting
master.
From everywhere.
Thunderbaster master.
Exactly. But it's when it's got thunderbastard sort of energy, but you just don't expect them to shoot from there. So the cute angle, so like the Ramos goal in the World Cup, or the Osimhen goal against Sassuolo, where it's like, why have you just twonked that into the bottom?
Yeah.
You could have placed it, you could have called it, but you just smashed it into that corner. I think that's got to be one for sure.
Yes.
I think any sort of diving ahead though. I don't know what we call it.
Superman.
Elton John, Rocket Man.
Rocket Man. The Rocket Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
We need a name for, like, for instance, like I mentioned, the Paul Scholes, when they think, oh,
that's the back to sender, yeah.
Back to sender.
Back to sender, yeah.
You think it's all, you know, you've dealt with it, enemy lines are cleared, squeeze.
We need to find a goal for behave, man.
Stop that, behave, because
we can't do that. Okay.
What about, you know, when you see like a goal where the opposition manager loses their head? It's like, for fuck's sake.
And the water bottles are being thrown. So there's someone on the pitch. Yeah.
It's never a good goal as well. It's like a goal mouse scrap. It's like, we've not cleared the ball here.
Do you know what? There's also the head loss one, like Reece Nelson against Bournemouth. The ones where the goal just
pandemonium.
There's a head loss goal where everyone's on the pitch. There's a kid in the stands. Yeah. Someone's doing this. Someone's doing this. It's like the where were you when that happened? Yeah. Head loss one as well.
The Reece Nelson one is a great example because ultimately that goal can fall into so many different genres. But what you remember that moment is, I've lost my head.
Someone in the stands, I've lost my kid.
So we kind of got those. We got our kind of genres.
So we had Twunk, we had Fuck It, we had the Stop That Curler. Back to Sender, Rocket Man.
Yeah.
And what was the one we just
said?
Complete head loss.
Head loss.
That's a nice.
I'm happy with it.
Yeah. You happy with those?
Yeah.
Good stuff. Okay, so Champions League, Arsenal. Arsenal Bayern Munich, which I was very, very impressed with this game. Can I say, Flo, because we've sitting there together, I expected a bit more from Bayern Munich, but at the same time, you know, I was messaging Kim Little, you know, I mean, hopefully Kim's okay. I was messaging Kim Little and she was saying, listen, I was saying, all the best tonight, Kim, you really have a blast. And she said, yeah, we're going to go out, we're going to start really quickly. And we've done everything that what the game plan was, really went at them, closed them down everywhere. I didn't think they had a game plan, but the way we played in that game, you know what I mean, was really, really impressive. I was really, really impressed with the way we played.
It was like
that
a
game.
Moment, I can't lie. I remember, I think it was early in the season where we had a conversation here and we were saying that with the injuries Arsenal were picking up, it's all about just staying together as a group and just hoping that the tide will turn eventually.
Mm. You know, as you say that, Mayo, because like Leah was talking about when we lost Viv with the ACL and how it kind of like deflated everybody in that. With this one, when we lost Kim, kind of like everybody kind of like galvanized.
Yeah.
Which again is like, for me, maturity of the team and what they're capable of doing.
They've had to deal with it all season. Yeah. I remember early parts of the season where the whole back line's basically changed. You lose two of your most influential players and it's like, okay, no, we've been through this. Now we have to come together and really push forward. And the fact that in the first leg, anyone that watched that game probably looked and thought, yeah, no, Arsenal have something in this next leg. Like they have something, especially when you look at sort of like the offside decisions and everything in that game, which is a whole conversation itself, they have something. So to pull off this performance with a record midweek crowd as well, it just felt like a moment. I feel like, now more than ever, I think Arsenal finally realizing that you're that team.
Yes.
They aren't some sort of like second horse in this conversation. They have the right to say that, no, we are one of the best teams around. And you could see that in the performance. You could see that way they pop the ball about. You could see that in the goal. It's like, no, this is our home ground. And all of this talk about, you know, us not playing well at Emirates is going to be disintegrated. We are that team. And that's what I was most impressed with more than anything. Getting to the semi-final was great, but how you go about your business to get there is even more impressive.
I'm quite impressed with the players that like Noel Moritz. You know how much I love Laura Weinrother. I love her. I think she's fantastic. But she was good. Moritz. I think Katie McCabe. I remember when we went and watched her against West Ham, and she was on the bench. I was thinking, what's going on here, Jonas? How is Katie McCabe not playing? And one of the things what happens with Katie McCabe is that she doesn't get a lot of credit for how good she is. She play on the right, she play on the left. And like, we're seeing players now, experienced players, top players, and again, another player that's injured, hopefully it's not too bad, that are really coming to the fore at a time with Arsenal, because the way the season started and the way it was going, Flo, I didn't see this.
I think the turnaround has been really impressive the last couple of weeks, because obviously a lot of people, including myself, went in looking at that Conti Cup final, thought, based on this team this season, I don't see there's a chance that they're winning that game. But the way that victory has galvanized them, and I think they could have done better in that first leg. I think obviously they limited the damage, and I thought Bayern played it well. It seemed like Bayern's game against Wolfsburg last weekend and that win in the league just took it out of them, because they were so poor that there was no game plan.
Yeah.
They were terrible, but that shouldn't take away from the performance that Arsenal put in, because the way that they've just across the last month, really, since the Conte Cup final, just transformed, and the belief and the consistency, which I think is really important. Like, I think there were moments in that first leg where I thought, you can deliver better than that. Like, maybe you're not creating
there
enough.
Signs, yeah, but it wasn't
but there were still, I guess, positive signs there. And they just absolutely bossed that second leg. And Lotta Wormamoy having to slot in.
Unbelievable.
Who's had a rocky season as well. Not getting into the England squad. Like, having to deal with a lot. Putting in a phenomenal performance when Arsenal lose their best player, really, this season. Their most consistent player this season. And I also was pleased with Jonas Eidevall's comments afterwards, because I found him too defensive at times this season. And we know managers need to do that, because they want to protect their players. They want to create a positive atmosphere. But I think for me, there was such a sign in the shift in their mentality and their season, the fact that Jonas was saying, like, this is the minimum now.
Mm.
We have to be even better than we were tonight. And I think that's so important for this team, because I hate to be like Gary Neville here, but...
Don't then.
And Emily Oren said this to me on Twitter, but... It is Arsenal women, the only women's team, English women's team to ever won the Champions League, right? So nights like that should be the minimum now. They should be the foundation that you work from.
Yeah.
And I think across the last 2 years, even towards the end of the Montemurro era, they were losing what made them special. They were losing that out and out. Like, even against West Ham United, you still got to deliver the goods.
Yes.
I think that, for me, I'm seeing signs of life there. And that is exciting to see, because it will be obviously great for Arsenal, great for the rest of the league.
It's great for football in general. Yeah. What you're saying is, for me, it's, how do I phrase this? It's like, you can't feel sorry for yourself. And I feel like Arsenal have got to that point in the season, and just in their journey now, where it's, we can't play second fiddle. We have to be the A team. And in order to do that, if that's what that mob are doing over there, and they're constantly being at that level, then we have to be better than that. And that's why the Conte Cup was such a unique moment, because it was, you know, Chelsea thought, we've probably got this.
Mm.
So to get that result, it's like, okay, from here on out, for the rest of the season, it's, what did our mate Phil say? It's 23 cup finals.
23 cup finals, bro.
So listen, it's just a few cup finals now. Go out there and give everything.
That's
and
exactly
put performances
right.
up, and we'll see where it takes us.
Mm. But so, this is why, as well, I'm just hearing Flo having to give my team love like that.
Shut
you know,
up.
Chaos flow.
Look,
we've forced her into that. And that's what the Arsenal players have to do. And this is why, even though we messed about, when I messed about and done my rally cry for the Conte Cup.
Yeah, it
and works. I mentioned the fact that, know who you are, the history of who you are. So when you put the shirt on, you realize that comes with you have to bring something to that. That comes with responsibility. And that is where they've got back to now. And that's why Jonas has to keep them at that. And it is the minimum now.
Listen, man.
I'm a tough love kind of girl, you know. I only do love, it because honestly. I want to see more from these players and these teams. And they deliver, so it's worth.
You just remind me of George Graham.
100% success rate.
I get George Graham vibes off of
what
Flo Match.
I've never
ever done do enough for him.
What you said is just facts, though, man. Superman doesn't put on his suit and act like a civilian. Like,
no,
when it's time, it's time. You get popping. Put the jersey on and know who you are.
Thank
like,
you very much.
Straight up.
That is exactly what we need to. And we've done that. And against, I don't want to take anything away from Arsenal, because, like, Steena, you know how much I love Steena. I'm backing Steena. Steena's working hard. Palova, I love Palova. Palova's come in and she's doing really well. And Frida, playing off of Steen, I like it. I like what's going on. I saw there was a kind of like there was somebody done a video of my mate who was behind, talking to the lady who was behind us when me and Flo was next to you, and they were saying about the chat between Leah being in midfield, Leah being centre back, and it's an unbelievable conversation and discussion, simply because she is so good in both of those positions. Whereas, like, now, this is why I'm really pleased. Obviously, I'm disappointed for the injury. But, like, for Lotta to come in and now Kim, don't know how long Kim's going to be out, but then for Leah to go into the midfield that gives us something else, because that creation for the Frida's goal and everything like that
comes from that.
That comes from that. So there's so much happening now. Katie McCabe looks like, yes, she's in, and she's in to stay. You know what I mean? I think Merritt's done brilliantly there as well. You know, I'm very impressed with us at the moment. And I'm really, really happy that Flo's finally giving us some love.
I was giving Arsenal love before this moment at points this season where there were...
Yeah, but it's love with that face where it's like, I'm giving Arsenal love. Can you see my face? Can you feel my face when I'm saying that? It's kind of like...
Arsenal have done well.
Yeah. But, you know, and I thank you for that, Flo, because... And you know something? You look at the last four teams in there, and you have to say, something has to happen at Chelsea. You know, they got through that, they got, for me, like I say, it's on counter press, check it out, it's going to be great. They got that penalty, and I thought it was very fortunate, right? But they got it, and they got through. It's up to them now, because now they've got Barcelona, who dismantled them. They cooked them. They cooked them and then took them out.
It's payback time.
You know, they cooked them, deep fried them in that Champions League.
I want to go to Barcelona just to watch that leg, honestly.
See, she gets joy. Look at her face.
No, not to see it, just to see what happens, because it's so interesting.
What do you think is
going to
happen, genuinely?
Well, Jesse is predicting that Emma Hayes will just park the bus, which I think is pretty likely, to be honest, because that is the best thing to do. I know Arsenal tried to do... like two different versions of that last season. They tried to park the bus, didn't work. They tried to play Barcelona and that didn't work either. So it is so hard, but I mean, Lyon beat them in the Champions League final. So Bayern beat them in the group stages.
Chelsea have to find a way to get more creative through their midfield, to get more chances, even more chances to Sam Kerr. Because I think that Barcelona, with the possession that they're going to have, you know, hope, of course, Millie will be back by then, but
yeah, that Millie has to be back.
Millie has to be back.
If Millie's not back, we're
that
done.
That was the shakiest start I've seen, like Eriksen at the start of that. If Ada Egerberg was on from the start of that game, she probably scores two goals in that first half, the way that defence was. Defence was on shaky legs. Bro.
Not to go into it too much, but I think, if anything, if Sam Kerr watches John Wick 4 before those two legs, and just says that this is, I just have to get through all of these people that don't want me to progress, then we'll be fine.
That's what needs to happen. Okay, guys. So because I was late, sorry, everybody. Not my fault, you know what I mean? Trafalgar Square, man. It's a nightmare. Flo obviously had to leave earlier. So unfortunately, Flo's gone, but she was cooking Arsenal a little bit. So
we had to let her go.
Yeah, so we had to. But yeah, but thanks very much, Flo. We love you so much. But we're going to do the Premier League, bro, because like it's back. There's some serious games now. We're into the cup final stage. Like, there's like, how many cup finals? There's nine cup finals.
nine
cup finals, not 23 like Inter Miami, Phil Neville. But like nine cup finals. And like one of the games that just jumps off the sheet for me, Mayowa, is Everton Tottenham. And Tottenham in the current state, Everton knowing what they need at Goodison Park with that crowd, no manager Tottenham. You know, it's like, you think to yourself, this is perfect for Everton to go in and try and get 3 points.
They need it as well. They need it. But really random. I know we're talking about Premier League and fixtures coming up, but with everything that's happened with Spurs, I am convinced that God is an Arsenal fan. Because
don't joke, bro. Don't say that.
To lose your manager goes, and then the person you've put in charge to actually find a new manager is then banned for football for 30 months.
Wow.
It's the next day.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I
feel that their season could just literally spiral out of control from here.
I
feel that for them. Because they're in a situation where they could actually probably try and crawl some ground back. But I feel that they'll start slipping, which makes it interesting for me for two teams that are kind of behind them. And they're playing each other, Brighton and Brentford.
Brentford, yeah.
That for me is an interesting game. It would be a good footballing game. But both those teams in a situation where we're safe, we are aspiring for higher stuff. Let's just go out and try and win as many games as we can and see what happens.
I mean, bro, you look at West Ham Southampton.
Six-pointer.
That is a six-pointer.
Yep.
That's a six-pointer, bro. You look at that game, you think to yourself, wow. And looking at the momentum that Southampton have kind of got, they're doing well in games. Selhurst has got them going a little bit. They've got a bit of momentum. I feel a way to West Ham, even though I see West Ham, once they kick in, at London Stadium, they can cause problems, but if Southampton can frustrate them, I feel like they can nick a couple of goals here.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's so mad because ultimately, I think it's 4 points between those teams now, between, is it 12th and 20th?
Wow.
Insane.
Wow.
And like Crystal Palace's next run, I think they're playing six of the teams around them. So that's 6 points central for ages. And when you look down there, the only two teams that are kind of in any sort of decent shape form is Leeds.
Yep.
They've got two wins in the last
five.
They've
got some momentum, yep.
And then probably Southampton. They've got two draws and a win and two losses. So it's like anything can happen down there. So that game in particular you're mentioning is really, really pivotal. Mm. There's one game that we haven't mentioned.
Go on.
Newcastle,
Man United.
Newcastle get a win there.
Yeah. That's big for Newcastle. That's a massive game.
It's a big game.
I wonder if me and Shearer, I think we're on, me and Shearer on, you know. That's going to be good, man. Man will be a bag of nerves, bro.
Yeah, because this is it now.
Bag of nerves.
If Newcastle were, a lot of people are writing them out of this top four situation. Now they're saying that they peaked too early.
Mm.
They haven't got the goals to get them where they are. But that result before the international break with the penalty,
yeah,
it just kind of gave them a little boost. And now it's sort of where no one expected you to be here. Just go for it.
Yes.
Go for it, man.
You see with you guys, Chelsea Villa, because it seems to be there's some love in the air for Potter, like they've got a couple of good results. Is this kind of, if you win this one, you know, against Villa, who, it's not going to be easy. Unai's got them playing well. They're playing well. They're scoring goals. Chelsea at home are going to have to play well to beat this Villa side.
100%.
Do you think if Chelsea can win it, Mayo, do you think that they're starting to move towards my guy like Potter? Because I want Potter to do well. I would like him to do well. What's your vibe on him at the moment? And the Chelsea vibe?
The Chelsea vibe is interesting. So a lot of people are like, he needs time.
Mm.
When you look at the amount of people in that change room, it's kind of like playground football. Like you can't do 11-11 training. There's like 40 guys there. It's hard to know. I don't think any Chelsea fan or any person that watches football would tell you specifically what that starting 11 should be. Mm. No two people would have the same 11. And that in itself is an issue because there's no consistency in what you can bring. I think where Chelsea are in an interesting position is you need momentum going into next season anyway.
Mm, yeah.
I think it's too late to go for top four. And then you're in that weird position where loads of fans will be like, do we really want to go in the Conference League?
Mm. Wow, I wouldn't want to.
So if you start winning games,
it's embarrassing for Chelsea.
Yeah, you're not going to get to top four. You're basically going to end up in that little space there.
Yeah.
But you also need momentum going into these games against Real Madrid. So you're in a rock and a hard place. You have to perform well.
Yeah.
But you don't want too many W's to put you in this way.
Yeah, but then the thing is that with the amount of players that they've got, even if you did end up, God forbid, into whether it's Europa League or Conference.
You can play some players.
You can play some players in the amount of men you've
got.
And
that's where I am. My whole thing is ultimately football's about winning. Mm. You don't go into a game to win the draw.
Yeah.
I don't believe you should ever throw games as well. For him, he's in a place where I've seen it by his substitutions. He's trying to hold on to wins. Mm. Winning is important to him. So Villa is a great game to sort of make sure that you can catch ground on the Fulham and the Brentford, the other top teams in West London, and bring that small league back. But ultimately, Chelsea have to start imposing themselves in games. It's not enough for Chelsea to play good for 15 minutes.
No,
I know he's trying to put his ideology in, which is great. But the next part of his development is, can you impose yourself on teams? Because that Real Madrid game is going to be a big game. They're not coming to joke.
It's a massive game.
When against Villa, you kind of have to do that to get yourself prepared for that. So I'm hoping that we can get a win there. I'm hoping.
So we got Bournemouth and Fulham. That'd be a cool game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Both of those. I think that, no. Bournemouth and Fulham. Fulham's winning that game.
With no Mitro.
It's true. No,
see what my guy did, man. He saw red.
And saw red, bro. And saw red. Saw red and saw red. What about City Liverpool? The only thing I don't like about this game is that it's at 12:30. I'd like this game to have been on a Monday night. You know what I mean? I don't know if our man Haaland, I don't know if Pep's doing the kind of, well, he's not fit. Is he fit? You know?
Yeah.
So to make everybody think about it, because, you know, it wouldn't make much difference to me anyway, because if Alvarez will come in and do stuff, you know what I mean? So Liverpool have got the capability of beating City. And
Liverpool need it too, man. Yes. Liverpool really, really need this, because if we're saying Newcastle are closing in on United, that means that Liverpool are further away from getting that top four. Yeah. And they will not want to be outside of that top four. Mm. They still have, I think Diaz is coming back very soon.
Yes.
They're having all of these players come back at just the right time to maybe go on a run. So if they were to beat City, not only would it be a massive favour for Arsenal, it would just give them momentum to hopefully go on a run, because United could, I mean, Casemiro still out for a few more games. I don't know. I don't know what to make of the rest of United season. They've got the trophy.
I think Newcastle beat United.
Yeah, I think so too.
You know, and I think Liverpool, maybe it's because I want it to happen, if I'm going to be totally honest, but I think that Liverpool could cause City a problem, especially as much as they can bring in Alvarez, and they're still an unbelievable team, City. I just think that Liverpool need to do something to give them some energy to finish the season and go again. You know what I mean? So I think that that's one. Obviously, I'm hoping Liverpool can win that one. Forest Wolves, you know, Forest again got a little bit of momentum at home. They have to win that. I personally feel that Wolves...
It's another six-pointer.
It is. I think that Wolves have got enough in them where they can definitely cause Forest a problem. But I just feel that Forest right now have to go and suffocate Wolves. Just go and just attack Wolves. Get the goals. Wolves are not scoring enough goals themselves. You've got to attack them at home. Get the crowd behind you. And try and get those 3 points. I think that's a good 3 points. And then, obviously, finishing with Arsenal Leeds. And when I look at Arsenal, no Saliba, no Tomiyasu. Leeds, no Tyler Adams.
Yes, that's a big miss for them. He's so influential. He's it's not spoken about a lot because ultimately everyone always looks at the bigger teams. But in terms of Premier League signings that have come in and really improved their team, he's pound for pound one.
Can I say something that's probably not going to like Leeds fans, but like they know I love them deep down. He's somebody that if things don't quite work out for Leeds, and he's
gone.
On the move.
Oh yeah, he's gone.
On the move. I like his attitude.
He was playing Champions League.
Yeah. I like his attitude, like the way he plays, I like his vibe, like his focus. You know what I mean? He's somebody that tomorrow, you know what I mean? I'm going to have a really good look at him again, because I watched him in the World Cup. He was very good. Watched him in games this season. He's been very good. Doesn't dip too far under 8 out of 10.
Yeah, and very a lot of consistent. People probably think that he's just this energy guy that gets around, but he's got quality on the ball as well. He's able to compose himself after he's won the ball and pick the right passes. And he can get up the field quite decent as well. Like, he can actually progress. I like him a lot. I like him a lot.
From our point of view, though, from an Arsenal point of view, Miyawa, I feel that these games going into it, it's like when last few games we've gone into, you're thinking, yeah, well, this could be a sticky one. This could be a sticky one, but it's the kind of game that Arsenal have been batting away. A 3 or a 4. Yep. You know what I mean? I'd love that to happen, but again, you have to earn the right to get that. And like, we've got players who are in form, but at the same time, Saliba's a miss. You know what I mean? Tomiyasu, and if Ben White has to play centre-half, that's going to be a miss on the right side for us.
With what he brings.
With what he brings. But then it's up to us. To start how we start. We're going to need the fans. It's not like I'm doing a rally call for them because they're there. But the fact is we need them because I believe that this Man City-Liverpool game is not a foregone conclusion for them. Just like we've got to play Liverpool in a next game, I think.
You've got them at Anfield. You've got them at Anfield.
And I feel, you know, even though I'm saying that Liverpool can go to City and cause them problems, I think we can go there and beat them, bro. Because I have to believe that. I think that we can
home
do
away.
That.
We'll take them
you
anyway.
You know something? We'll take them because I think that the way we're playing, we can't go to Liverpool like back in the day and feel like, okay, I remember Liverpool one time, we went not too long ago, went there in 20 minutes, it was like 4-0.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're not that team anymore.
Arsenal, they are the standard bearers of the Premier League right now. So I don't think there's any team or any location that team goes to and thinks we're up for it today. They're thinking, no. If we do what we do best, it's a long day for anyone. And that's how it should be. I'm looking forward to it, man.
It should be good, man. I'm looking forward to this weekend. It should be a good weekend, man. But thanks again, Moes. I love you, bro.
Love you too, man. Thanks for having me.
I could have said thanks to Flo, but I will say thanks. Thanks, Flo Lloyd-Hughes. I know she's gone. Thanks very much, Mayor. You know, we'll see you again. We'll reconvene on the WhatsApp.
At a later date.
Thanks very much, Mayor. Thank you very much. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again on Tuesday. And as we mentioned at the start of the show, I was going to finish with a lovely little montage from my dear friend David Rocastle, who passed 22 years ago on this day, from his dear friends and our teammates saying some wonderful things about a wonderful man. See you soon, everybody.
Deep one. Quinn hoping to get on the end of it. It comes for Alisson, driven first time. It might go anywhere. Rocastle! Arsenal are through to Wembley.
can I say about my friend, David Rocastle? My teammate, my brother.
Rocky, number seven, legend.
What a talent. He had the skill of a Brazilian, the heart of a lion. He could do it all. Footovers, goals, crosses, the lot. So good to play with.
Oh, missed completely by Webb. Rocastle, a central figure again. And he looks to trip Schmeichel, and it's in! A goal for Arsenal. David Rocastle, fire the bar, and I think the back of the Manchester United goalkeeper.
He was an outstanding player, technically very gifted, could tackle, could run, can pass.
Rocky was quite easily the best all-round wide player I ever witnessed.
Thomas playing it to Rocastle. It struck home! Fabulous goal by Rocastle, and there indeed is the equaliser. What a fabulous strike by David Rocastle. Spotted by Michael Thomas, a ball sprayed superbly by him. So little space, but hit with such venom. And Arsenal a level.
We used to walk up the park with a few friends of mine. We used to come and play on the swings because we were younger players, younger lads, and we didn't want to join in with the big boys. And they used to see us, and they never used to have a goalkeeper because they all wanted to be Pelé and Maradona on the pitch. So we used to be walking past, and it used to be one of them. Oi, get over here, get in goal. And obviously, we were only little kids at the time. That was the early days of remembering Ian.
When he used to be in goal, then all of a sudden, he'd get the ball at 10 and just go through everyone. You know what I mean? That's when you realised that he was good, but even then, watching what he was able to do in that, I didn't realise it was going to go like it did for him.
The first time I met Rocky was at an end-of-season dinner for Arsenal in 1987. Never forget, he walked over halfway through the dinner and introduced himself, this young, good-looking boy. And you know, we spoke like a captain, like a 30-year-old who'd been around forever, whereas he was still a teenager at the time.
He could run all day. He was quick. He could score great goals. He could score tap-ins. He could head it. He could tackle. He could dribble, he could pass, he could cross the ball.
Now, we're playing at Southampton, and that was one of my greatest days. Someone put me through, had the shot, Rocky comes in, gets the rebound, and that's that picture with me on the floor with my arms up and Rocky running over to me. I was just happy that I was involved.
Thanks to the limp bar, Rocastle's got a lot of room in which to work here. Right, going to the right. On Rocastle! Rocastle's goal, and Ian Wright played a major part in it.
More than anything, he was a special person, Rocky. He really was, and anybody that came into contact with him, I'm sure, would agree. Magnificent player and person.
He was a beautiful, lovely, caring human being, and I miss him a lot, and I'm sure everybody else does.
Most of all, mate, he was just a great, great man.
Yeah, I miss him every day. I love the guy. Wonderful, wonderful man.
I miss him. I love him to bits. Wish he was still here now.